the bow that I choose to wear in my hair has no bearing on my ability, my passion, or my fight for this game of rugby.
Hi, I'm George Evans. I am a female rugby player. I am currently playing for Saracens Women. I have been for the past 5 years. I've been professional with Wales Women for the last three, and I will always be very proud to have represented my nation with the girls alongside me. So myself and many other athletes from across the world have just come together for what is the biggest World Cup that women's rugby has ever seen. And in my second week of being in camp, going through some of the comments online, I am known for wearing my pink bow. I've wore it since my first cap, and I will continue to do so. And I came across a number of comments: I should concentrate on my playing rather than my appearance. There was comments referring to the fact that I don't look like a rugby player, about the amount of makeup I had on, my eyelashes, the bow in my hair. I went through a few and had a little bit of a giggle at some of them, because some of them are just barbaric, and others, they hit home a little bit more. But it was only when multiple people from my team and from my family had seen these comments and they were taking them quite personally for me, I chose to take a step back from social media to allow myself the time to process and go through it all and make sure that I was protecting myself as best I could. When you're in the media, we have to be very aware that we are opening ourselves up to public scrutiny for how we play. That is our job. It's part and parcel of what we do. But I don't think anything should be as personal or directed as somebody's appearance, especially when we put ourselves on that stage. I express myself with a bow. I wear a full face makeup and I put my eyelashes on because I feel good in the morning when I get up and go to rugby. I can still look feminine and still look silly whilst doing my job and doing it to the best of my ability. And if it gives those young girls looking up, and even the young boys, a realisation that you can be who you are, you don't have to change what you look like, who you are as a person, what you listen to, how you dress, just to do what you love, that makes it all worth it for me. And I think shining a light on the minority, thank goodness, of comments about my appearance was quite important to me, because it was also a statement of I'm not going to change who I am. And nobody else should feel the need to either. So a lot of young people, a lot of young boys and men that I've met over the last couple of weeks have asked the question of what can we do to show our support, to support the women's game. It's thinking before you comment. It's just turning up. Not every young boy or retired old man that comes to a game is going to wear a pink bow in his hair. And that's not what any of us expect. But just by showing up, just by watching us for 5 minutes, just by taking your little sister or your next door neighbour out for a kickabout. It's such a small thing, but it goes a long way for all those young girls, for all us athletes on the big stage. If you can support one female in your life doing what they want to do in sport, that's enough.
Welcome to the Pro Player Podcast, Season 5. I am absolutely delighted today to be joined by our guest, our first guest from outside of the world, the high-performance world of soccer. Georgia Emily Evans is a Welsh international rugby player, a World Cup rugby player, no less. She plays for the Saracens Club in England. She's a latecomer to the game, but she was recently thrust into the national spotlight. She'll talk all about how and the messages she's got, which reflect the fact that the sport of rugby is for everybody, irrespective of your appearance, ability level, gender, creed, sexual orientation, age. Rugby is for everybody. She has a really powerful message, which the whole world, I think, needs to hear. And with rugby becoming even more prominent in the United States in 2025, I think it's a fantastic time to have Georgia on the podcast. Welcome, Georgia Emily Evans, to the Pro Player Podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm so excited, and I'm so excited to be speaking to a Welshman as well. So,
I'm not going to lie, George, I'm so happy. I've seen you like in the national spotlight, like doing what we do, George, standing up for what you believe in, and whatever comes your way. There are 3.5 million people with daffodils on and red shirts on supporting you like you'll never believe, right? I've had messages from people in my local rugby club in Saint-Genis who just tell Georgia how much we're behind her. My best friend from growing up, has got a bow in his big long Viking beard. He's the vice chairman of the rugby club. He's got a bow in his beard. Everyone wants you to know that the entire country and people all around the world are 100% behind you. And I hope that comes through on Instagram and everything else as well. But
yeah,
quick shout out to a fantastic rugby club there in Ynysopol, where you started. Fantastic heritage in the Welsh rugby system there for anybody who's ever been involved. But in general, this is a story and an episode about a high performer, a professional athlete, a World Cup player who is now standing for something that's become to represent even more than an emerging sport. So I can't wait to spend this hour with you and hear all about your story. And obviously, the idea is to provide strength and support for aspiring players and coaches and people in business all around the world. So I don't think there's anybody better we could kick off season five with than you. So where do we start, George? You said you were late coming to the game. Like, obviously, you grew up in Wales, so you didn't really much of a choice. You had to be a rugby fan, I suppose. But you say you got into the game late, yeah?
Yeah, so I actually grew up in I grew up in Yeovil in Somerset in England. So I started off there. And I would watch my brother week after week play rugby. He was choosing between rugby and football or soccer at the time. He would go between the two. So I'd be watching him. My cousin used to play internationally, so we followed him around quite a lot. Kerry Sweeney used to play. So we watched him growing up. And I guess I always was always set. It's such a male-dominated sport, and there wasn't much around at the time for me. And then when I moved back to Wales, came back home to Ynysopol, and 16, 17 was like, oh, there's a women's team up the ball. And I thought, I'll have a go. I'll see what it's like. And put my boots on, and I never looked back. And that was where it pretty much all started for me, up on them. If you've ever been on the field, you can never see the other side of the try line. It's like goes up and down. It's amazing to build your robustness, let's say. But started there and yeah, like I said, never look back.
So, I mean, you dropped in there casually. Kerry Sweeney's your cousin. That's also impressive. I grew up watching Kerry Sweeney throw a kick of rugby football around the pitch. So, I suppose the question to start with, when we've had a lot of professional female players on, there's been a huge shift in women's soccer in the last couple of decades, right? But a lot of the players who are retiring now, some of the ones I would have worked with in my career, they started playing against boys. There were no boys' teams. They tell us stories of how the barriers they had to overcome to even get a seat at the table, to get a ball in their hands, sometimes to be accepted because they were female. Was it similar for you? You said that there was a team for you to join, and this is probably not too long ago. You're still obviously super young, but was it a similar story for you, like starting out in rugby?
Yeah, it was tough. I think growing up, it was more so I was swimming and netball because that was kind of what all the girls did, gymnastics, but quickly realised I wasn't a gymnast. Ballet, realised I couldn't actually hold a dance to save my life. So like all of that kind of stuff, it was always very much women's, or what the girls would do, you generically go towards. And like I said, when we were in England at the time, growing up, it was always watching my brother do football and rugby. And there was I'd never seen visibly any women's teams or girls' teams to join. So it would never cross my mind until I came home. And when I came back to Wales, Ynysopol had just started up a women's team, but it was their first ever women's team that they'd started that I was going to be a part of. So that was really exciting as well. But you never know how it goes. And I know when I left the Bull, I was there for 3 seasons. And when I left, they unfortunately folded because they couldn't keep the teams coming through. And I actually went up there this Sunday and it was amazing because there's now minis teams. The women's team was playing after the minis had finished training. But there was like 6 or 7 girls within the under nines team and in the under sevens team, which was just like heartwarming because when I left, there was no girls. We didn't have enough players to even field a 15-a-side game. So that's really lovely to see, even within the last 5 years, how quickly it's grown. But like I said, when I came through, it was all very new. All the teams had just started up. So at the time it's tough because you just constantly, you're ringing all your friends like, fancy a game of rugby, and they're like, no, and you're like, please, because we need one more player to actually play on the weekend. So that's tough when games are being called and stuff. But yeah, like I said, it's grown within the last 5 years, so who knows where else it can go, especially with like little village teams like me.
Well, I tell you what, if anyone's going to be responsible for the explosion of rugby in Wales, it's going to be someone like you. I'll tell you that now, because we'll get on to that a little later. But I suppose, was there a moment then when you obviously started playing, you must have turned your attention pretty quick to, like, I enjoy this, I'm pretty good at this. Somebody must have come to you and said, look, there's a future in this for you. And you mentioned it while we were chatting off air there about playing for the Cardiff Blues eventually, and provincial rugby side there in Wales. So was there a point where you went from kind of just, okay, I'm here to have a game, to, all right, I'm going to play for Wales in the World Cup,
I think it's still honestly now, and people will can call my bluff whatever, but it's still pinch me moments because I am still just a ball girl that just threw on a pair of boots one day and just turned up at my club and thought, I'll give it a go. And I still look at it and I'm like, this is ridiculous and crazy and just like I can't even put it into words. But I think I started off as a 10 and a 12. And if you see how I play now, you'd quickly realize why I moved into the forward pack. But I started playing and I honestly just enjoyed my Sundays. I would go up the ball, we'd play a game, you'd go over, everyone in Wales knows, you go back to the rugby club and you have sausage and chips and you have a pint afterwards. And I just loved, like I loved how everyone was together, everyone's families would come down on a Sunday. It was like my perfect weekend. And then I started university and started playing there, and I was very, very lucky. I have been one of the lucky ones. People say, oh, I worked my whole life, and they worked from when they were five picking up a rugby ball, and I have so much admiration for them because it also makes me realize how lucky I was to be seen when I was seen, and someone seen something in me and thought, yeah, we'll give this ruffian a little go, see how far we can get her. Started playing for uni, got picked up by Cardiff Blues at the time and a Premiership side, Pontyclun, which is just down the road. The coach picked me up there, and she seen something in me and was like, yeah, we can try and make a diamond out of you somewhere. And she was really instrumental in my career. And yeah, so started for Blues and then my first game for Cardiff Blues. The Welsh coach was luckily there at the time. It was Roland Phillips, and I got a call off him and he pulled me into the next campaign, which was Six Nations, which was amazing. It was like a really good learning experience for me. I didn't get capped then. It took me another year to get capped, but it was a really amazing learning experience. But even at that point, I was like, is this actually really happening? Like, how is this all just unraveled? And like I said, I count my lucky blessings because I was just a girl who loved a pint and some chips after a game on a Sunday, who then all of a sudden was like thrust into an international like environment, and I was like, what is going on? So then very quickly I had to re not realize, I think I had the realization speaking to my brother, who also played, he came back, played for Cardiff Blues, and he was going through some time with injury. And I sat with him and he was like rehab, like he'd wake up and everything would consist of him making sure he got back on the pitch, his food was right, everything was just like scheduled so that he was ready. And I remember sitting with him and I used to be like, you're doing all this work, and he suffered with injuries, and he was like, but I can never then turn around and say like what if I hadn't done that, what if I hadn't done this. And that always stuck with me because now I'm like, I can never say what if, I always have to give it. And I think that was probably the turning point where I was like, I gotta give it a crack, see if I can get somewhere with it, and if not, I can say that I've done all I can. And now 4 or 5 years later, I'm sat here like, what the
Honestly, I am absolutely
hell.
blown away. I shouldn't be, because I know where you're from, right? But I'm blown away by someone who, you are doing it. You are at the top. You are doing it, right? You are. There are millions of people will listen to us in the coming years and decades, and young women all around the world who will dream of following this, whether it's soccer or rugby or whatever sport they choose. They will dream of one day doing what you are currently doing, right? And the humility that you show, and the empathy that you show, and the understanding you show for the journey, Georgia, is extremely impressive and to be commended for sure. One of the questions I really got to ask you, and this is as personal as it is about the podcast, you have stood with 5 seconds to go before those tunes play on the national anthem. You have stood there in anticipation with your boots on the field, waiting to sing the national anthem, and then you've done it. How does that feel?
It's It's always one of them moments. I'm not a highly emotional person when it comes to stuff like that. But I remember, I can't actually, and this is terrible, but I can't remember the first time it happened. And everyone always says it sticks with them, but I can't physically remember it because I just think it was such a whirlwind that I couldn't quite believe it. Like, I think I blacked out. But even to this day, like the last time we knew that, last week when we were playing against Fiji, we knew it was going to be the last time doing it in the World Cup. And like, you just have to, I always have those pinch me, like this could be my last ever game. You just don't know when it's going to end. So it's always amazing. I'm looking across the crowd. I've got the girls next to me. I'll always give them a smile and a little squeeze. And it is just one of them like surreal. That's the moment where I'm more so like, this is not my life. And then the camera pans on you and I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy, like ridiculous. But yeah, it's a super, super special moment and like one that I will never, ever take for granted.
Oh, wow. I mean, we got to talk about the World Cup. We've got to talk about, obviously, you know, recently Wales lost to Fiji in the tournament and I know that's disappointing, but for a Welsh team to be on the World Cup stage, you'll understand, is a huge thing. Our female footballers qualified for their first European Championship this summer, just gone as well in Switzerland. And that's another huge step in the right direction. Yeah. It was probably back to 2016 when the men's football team qualified for the first time in years and started a kind of different way of thinking about Welsh sport and what we can do on a world stage. But we're obviously very lucky on the men's side and the women's side that we have international tournaments every year in the Six Nations. So, you know, watching a Welsh international rugby match on that level is quite a regular thing, isn't it? It's guaranteed every year. But these tournaments that you're talking about now, you have to qualify for. When you get there, it's knockout rugby. Like, you kind of do a pool and then, you know, it can be all over. And obviously, you've just kind of gone through that. So how would you sum up the experience of the World Cup, not just for you, but also the team? What do you think it means for the nation? Like, obviously, the eyes of the world are on it. Everybody watched it, but you've just lived it. So, like, you give us your insight.
Again, I'm going to say it so many times today. Crazy. It's one of the biggest, no, it is the biggest World Cup that women's rugby has ever seen. I was fortunate enough to have been a part of the last one in New Zealand, and that was, I didn't think it got much better. Honestly, it was incredible. The crowds out there were just ridiculous and there was so much support behind it. But I've never felt an out-of-body experience is one thing. Just having crowds and the support that we've seen when we've been in areas, we stayed in Manchester for 2 weeks and in Exeter, just walking down the streets and people knowing who you are. It's surreal because, like I said, all eyes are literally on us. Like, everybody is aware of what's going on, like when you're kicking off, who you're playing, and that's something that women's rugby has never really had. Like, sometimes we've been walking on a Six Nations day on a Friday, we're out for coffee and people are like, oh, what are you here for then? And we're like, oh, we're playing England tomorrow, like what? So it's crazy to have that amount of support and that amount of eyes on us. For Wales as a nation, it's obviously disappointing. I think everyone talks about it, but especially for us girls, like we say, like we lived it and none of us feel it as hard as we do. So everyone, all the comments and when people are saying like, it's disappointing, we didn't show up and blah, 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 blah. We know that. And it, no one hurts more than us. Like, we were coming off the field battered, bruised, and we've also not got a win to show for it. And that's tough. But also I think in the wider landscape of things, we have to look at one, we're at the biggest World Cup that's ever happened, and we have the most amount of support and people viewing the sport, people coming down. We've had sold out crowds in every game that we've played. It's been phenomenal. Therefore, the positive that comes out of it is we've had more eyes on us. So yeah, we haven't been performing at our best, but you've seen over the years we've had the same core group of girls has been the most successful Welsh team that we've had in a long time, and we've also been the poorest at the moment. So you've seen the individuals stand up, you've seen different characters, you've seen different styles of play, you've seen a lot of things from us. And I always say it's a cliche thing, like when it clicks and it'll be amazing. Can't wait for that. But for us, like having those eyes on us and having that amount of support can only drive the game forward. And it also shines a light on all the youngsters that we had coming through this campaign. We had a couple of new caps coming into the World Cup and it's like trial by fire, isn't it? Like, they came in and they experienced what is the biggest
ongoing sporting event at the moment for us. What an incredible introduction to international rugby. And it's only going to make those younger girls come through want it even more because they've seen it's possible. So I think, like, taking my Welsh hat off, wider landscape, it's only positive for the game of women's rugby, but it's also positive for Welsh rugby. And going forward, we can highlight what we need to work on. Put my Welsh hat on, obviously no one's more heartbroken or disappointed in the results as us, but we're the only ones that can fix it. So we have time now away, and we've got time together before we come back to for Six Nations to hopefully hit the ground running.
Great insight again. You're absolutely right. It is at the middle of all, you know, the wider scope is what it means for the country and what it means for the next generation and all that kind of stuff. I'd love to ask you about that in a second, but I really want to keep it about the game as well. What is the finger on the pulse of women's rugby right now? For we have a huge listenership in North America. Lots of people listen to us in Europe. Australia probably will know a bit more about the rugby side, but certainly in large parts of North America, they might not have heard of the game of rugby, right? So what's going on in the game? They talk about high-level sport going through kind of ebbs and flows and trends. What's happening in women's rugby right now?
I think the biggest thing for us, especially like what I've found over the last couple of years, is how fast the game has become. Girls have got, a lot of teams have seen the professional era come through. So we've got a lot of teams, Wales, Scotland, Ireland, they've all gone professional in the last couple of years. We've got teams that are in and out of professional contracts, depending on what time of year it is and stuff like that. So you just see the game consistently grow in terms of it's fitter, faster and stronger, in simple terms. So your backs are running ridiculously high speeds. So you have to be able to keep up with them. And as the professional era goes on, that's the standards that keeps being set for those people coming in that you have to hit, which is amazing because it only makes the game better. I think a comparison to the men's game is hard, but you look at the scrums, the mauls, the domination that you get from your front row forwards, from your tight five, everything's about a power game and how you can just get over that gain line. And there's not much space in rugby union anymore, which we found out quite a lot because teams are getting better at defending. Teams are hitting harder and turning over ball faster. So it means you have to play a tactically very different game depending on who you're playing. A Fiji is going to throw the ball around a lot and just bank on offloads, which is amazing because it makes for a great spectacle of rugby. But how do you stop that? Well, you have to kind of starve them of possession and maybe play a bit more of a kicking game. So it's all these like tactical and technical nuances now that it's not just 15 people running into each other anymore because it just doesn't work. So it's all those little things that I think as the professional era goes on, we have more time as athletes to actually hone in on and work on a lot more than just getting stronger and battering the shit out of each other, if I'm honest.
A brilliant way to put it. That's certainly the rugby that I experienced back in the 1990s and 2000s, is, you know, just kind of give it to the big guys and off they go. And everyone hits everyone. They outlawed the dump tackle when I was playing. That was allowed back in the day. And it's interesting to hear. For those perhaps in North America that might not have come across too much high-level rugby or may not even be aware of the rules, could you give us a whistle stop? Like, what is rugby? What are the main parts to it? They obviously know a lot about American football here. How would you describe rugby in your elevator pitch for people who might be excited about watching their first game, perhaps?
When you actually say it, when you try and pitch it, it doesn't sound a very exciting game. Rugby is very similar to American football. It is just body on body. Ball goes backwards. The aim of the game, score as many points as you can. That's a try. A try is ball dotted over the line for 5 points, and then you kick a penalty. Not penalty. You kick a conversion. 2 points. Penalty is worth 3. Ball goes backwards, but you go forward. So make sense of that one. And you're also running into 15 people in front of you and you'd have to find a hole somewhere. That would be my pitch. Like I said,
That's a good sell. That's a good sell. I mean, I think the biggest difference in American football is probably very similar in terms of like handling the ball and running with it. But when they stop and then reset for another down, rugby carries on.
Yeah.
And that's when it gets a bit complicated. And, the ball is always live in play, two halves of 40 minutes, and no real stoppages apart from, the odd injury or water break. But it can
Oh,
be
yeah.
very dynamic and, as you say, very tactical. But if I'm honest, as much as I'm a soccer fan these days, my rugby upbringing, watching the 70s teams in Wales, Gareth Edwards, Barry
Yeah.
John, these players running from their own line, passing the ball 7, 8, 9, 10 times and scoring a try. There's not much like that in world sport, is there? There's not.
Unfortunately, our defenses are getting better. Attacks have got to find more ways to do stuff. And it's when I actually think about the game of rugby, it's actually so silly, but it's one of the most fun, rewarding games ever. Like, there is actually no better feeling than, like, actually just legally, you're allowed to just hit people, and then you get up and someone pats you on the back for it, and you're like, yeah, that
Brilliant.
was
Absolutely brilliant. And I think we do need to get into this side of the game as well. You're absolutely right, because I will be honest, I do think rugby holds a special place in the sporting landscape because of the values that protrude right the way through the middle of the game. Like, you can smash the shit out of each other, like you
good.
said, for 80 minutes. And literally, you could even be, having a fracas on the pitch. The referee steps in and says, enough. And all you lot go, yeah, okay, that's enough. Let's go back and play again. And there's no hard feelings. There's no, it doesn't carry on. You all go to
It's
the, you know, the
bizarre.
clubhouse after, and you all get together. And that doesn't happen in soccer. That doesn't happen in other sports. Why is that such an important integral part of rugby?
If I'm honest, like, it's something that is just ingrained in you. It's exactly like when you learn the rules and when you learn the laws and what you're doing on the field. It's quite literally just kind of ingrained in you from the moment you step on there. So whether it's from your, like, very grassroots club rugby, that is always how it has been. You've shook the hands of the ref, even though the ref might have not given you a decision. You shake the hands of all the girls afterwards, and you go in the clubhouse and you have a beer afterwards, and you might have a joke around about it. And it goes all the way through to the international stage. Like, every single one, I play against some of my best friends on the international stage, and it's really hard, and sometimes you are having a scrap, but it's just as soon as you get off, I don't know what it is, but it's that, like, family feel. And we talk about it a lot in Wales. Like, we always say it's very, like, family orientated, because you are, like, bonded together. You are literally battling with each other to, like, get over the try line and to get that win. So, like, you go into battle with your family, but also when you look to the side and you've got your best friend running at you, you're not going to be kind and just let them go. Like, it's just one of them things. It's part and parcel of the game. And I think that is what makes rugby so special, is that there is, like, a place for, like, my family are very included in the international squad. Like, they come to all the do's, and they're best friends, and they go on the piss with all the other mothers and fathers, like, because you do just become bonded. And it is something that's, like, very, I think, unique to rugby, and that's what makes it so lovely for children to come through, and kids all the way through the age grade. Like, they've always got people that they feel like is home.
I think rugby's done an amazing job. I mean, I'm going back to playing very amateur, nowhere near the level you play at, but I'm going back very amateur, 1993, like
Oh,
1997,
wow.
like, right? I'm old, right? But I'm going back to, like, those were the values that were passed down from the 60s and the 80s, and they're still strong, as you're saying today in 2025. Rugby does an amazing job. Much, much better job than soccer does in terms of, like you said, they're respecting the ref, respecting the opposition. And I get the two sports are different. I understand in the men's Premier League, you're talking about billions of dollars. Perhaps that's not the same in the highest level of men's and women's rugby. I get that. But it does an amazing job of withholding these values. And you're quite right to stand up. And you've been a very staunch supporter of these values. And that brings us on to, perhaps why you've been thrust into the national spotlight of late. You've stood up for these values, and to hear you speak, like, from your authentic self about why it's so important that these values are held and that rugby is open for everybody. Honestly, Georgia, I'm going to play a clip of it, and then I'd love to get your
Oh,
thoughts, right? So I'll
God.
play the clip, and then we'll get your thoughts.
I just want to say a massive thank you to every single supporter, every single fan, every person that's retired who's never played rugby, every young boy and girl who's not only been here today but from the start of the journey, and seeing everybody in their bows today. I don't get emotional. I didn't get emotional when the comments came out, but I got emotional today seeing everybody with their bows. It was insane. Thank you for the support. It's not just about me wearing a bow, it's what it represents. It's everything about rugby, how there is a space for everybody. And this World Cup is just showing how fantastic loads of different women are from across the world and how much we are just badass women doing what we want and how we want to do it. So thank you for everyone. It wouldn't be possible without you.
Yeah, I think after the we were down in Exeter, Sandy Park, and we'd just finished Fiji, and it was emotional. We've just finished off the back of three losses in the World Cup. It was an emotional day on the rugby side of things. But I think for me, it was incredibly emotional. And like I alluded to before, I'm not really an emotional person, but I ended up, I think, scaring one of the fans when she offered me a bow at the end, and I burst into tears. I don't think she expected that response. And I said to my mother, I said, "I'm so sorry. I think I've scarred her." I had a photo with her afterwards, and she was lovely. But the whole day was insane, and the girls were. We were all laughing and joking because a lot of the Welsh girls, they all wore the bows in their hair for me, and they were like, "This is your day. This is your day." Yeah. And that was amazing because girls, Donna Rose, who's got short hair and has never put a bobble in her life, put a red bow in her hair. And it was just honestly insane. Like that support from the girls was incredible. And then I got off the bus and I actually didn't realise like what had happened because I was sat on the bus and the girls going, Georgia, look outside. And I was like, I really can't at the minute. I'm trying to focus and get emotional. Stepped off the bus and I just had World Rugby volunteers everywhere in pink bows, had pink ribbons all around their wrists. I had fans and girls with signs, all with bows in their hair. I'd had men with bows in their beard and on their bucket hats. Like, and I just looked around and I was like, don't cry, pinch myself. I was like, don't cry. Like, just get into the changing room, you're all right. But it was the first time I've ever got into a changing room and just sat there and put my head down. And I'm the first one singing and dancing, but head down, and I just thought I need a moment to just realise like what's happened. And then I tried not to focus too much during the anthems or during the game, what was going on off field. But as soon as the final whistle went and I started doing the rounds, it was like overwhelming the amount of gratitude and love and support that I had received, but also that I had for everybody, because it was just like one of the biggest moments in my career, I think, so far, was seeing all that love. And I honestly, I wish I could have got around every single person. I did try. I ran to the top and I was like, I'm going to get through as many people as I could. Yeah. But the message, it was so much, it's so much bigger than the bow, like I've said so many times before. And having so many people come up to me and talk about what it represents to them, it's not just about the bow, it's what it represents them and how people perceive it and how people have love it, because they can just see it. Like some people are just like, oh, I can spot you on the pitch and I love it, and I'm like, perfect, that's amazing. And some people it represents something completely different and maybe a little bit more close to home, and like that kind of makes it all worth it for me. And all that like strife that I got the week before, I was just overwhelmed, because from the minority of small minded people that made those comments, I came out with tens of thousands of people who showed their love, support, and even now I'm getting messages and videos and everything from clubs around Wales, but not even just Wales, like all around England, around people from Australia, and I'm like, little old me from the Bull, it's like, this is crazy.
From the Bull. Every time you say it, I love it. From the Bull. I love it. I love it. Everybody who knows that part of the world knows what you mean. Look, we don't want to dwell on those people and those stupid voices, but that's got to take its toll. Like when people stand up and, you know, are representing anything of value, right? You probably didn't, well, you certainly didn't ask for this spotlight to be thrown upon you, but you also didn't shrink. When the moment called for it, Georgia Evans and by extension, the Welsh National Women's Rugby Team and the nation of Wales probably stood shoulder to shoulder because this was important. So I'm not going to dwell on those idiots, right? They can do one as far as I'm concerned. what's the message? What is the message? I love what you say. It's so much bigger than the bow. What is the big message that you want people around the world to hear? Why do you wear the bows? What is it all about?
I think the biggest thing for me, like I said, it's bigger than the bow, But for me, when I started rugby, I've always been a big girly girl. I've always had my nails done, my makeup done, my hair done. And when I got my first cap, in all honesty, it's as deep as I found a bow that I really liked. And I put it in my hair. And then from then on, I was like, I'm gonna wear a bow because I really I'm bow girl, the girl with the bow. But I just really liked it. And what I also love is that I could bring a little bit of my girliness. I'm always in pink boots. I have my pink tape. I love everything girly and feminine. And I also love that rugby has a spot for people who aren't like me. And I love that we're all completely different. And these people are my best friends. And we look completely different. We sound completely different, but we are one big family. And I think for me, when I was seeing their messages, I was like, I'm getting ripped apart for what I look like, but actually it's this game. I've said it before, like, it has a space for everyone, and whatever I choose to wear, as long as it's not a danger to myself or to the people around me, it should have no value on what I do in my shirt, and my rugby should speak for itself. Agreed. We didn't win the game because I had a big pink bow in my hair. There's lots of other factors to that, so for me it's more so all them young girls and young boys, because so many people suffer with what they look like and how they feel. But it can be as much as, it doesn't matter what you look like, what colour your hair is, what you wear, what your body shape is, what you sound like, anything and everything, it doesn't matter, because rugby, there is a space for you and there is a team for you somewhere that is more than welcome to open their arms to you and to bring you into this family that will literally have you meeting so many different people. And it is one of the most incredible experiences, and I've made lifetime friends from people all around the world who are completely different to me, but they don't want me to change, and I would never want them to change. And I think that's the biggest thing for me, was that I wasn't the only one that was seeing them comments, and I never want a younger person or someone who's trying to make it in sport see them comments and get deterred because they think that I've taken that to heart, because I don't take that personally for myself. I take that personally for all them young people that are just trying to find a space to fit in. And I think that's the biggest thing for me.
I don't know. Look, I'm not going to say that the Rugby World Cup is not massive, and it is, but I don't know that there's a better message than the one you are portraying. Like, the millions of young people around the world who feel like they can't be their authentic selves for whatever reason. I hope they hear this. I hope they hear that they can be, and they can walk a path towards that authenticity. Because without authenticity, I've never had to live an unauthentic life, and it probably cost me a bit in my career, to be honest. Probably why I'm doing a podcast now and not something else. But authenticity, where I come from in Aberystwyth, in the South Wales Valleys, it is what it is. And if you weren't authentic, you'd be brought down a peg or two pretty sharpish by people who weren't going to allow that. And you learn that authenticity in whatever skills you have or whatever, you might be good at something, you just let other people say you're good at it and you just carry on. You're from the same place. You understand that. And here you are now, a mega, mega world star, literally. Everywhere you look on Instagram and the media after the World Cup, you're there. And I hope I hope as many young people as possible get to understand about the bows and the reasons behind the bows. And I hope then they fall in love with rugby and the values of rugby as well. And maybe they do find their place. Is that the aim? Is that what you would like at the end of all of this? Probably.
100%. And I think, like, I spoke, a lot of people were like, oh, it's for the young girls, and it's, the bow represents something different to everybody, like I said. And I think for me, it's bringing that feminine edge and not changing who I am on the pitch. And I'll always be authentic. I'll always be myself and live and die by that. And I want other people to be able to do that. And it's not always going to be putting something different in your hair, and it's not always going to be, it's just how you live and how you want to be perceived and what you want to do. You can do what you want to do and do it and make yourself happy and be completely yourself, because I think, like I said, there's a space, and it's not just rugby, it's sport itself, and it's for the young boys as well. I know that there's many young boys that will also feel the same way. again, it's not about putting a big pink bow in your hair and going down your local rugby club, but it's like, it's living exactly how they want to, making themselves happy, doing whatever they need to do. And like I always say, you find your friends are your family you choose, and you will always find your outside external family, and they'll accept you for exactly who you are. And if they don't accept you, they're not people are supposed to be in your life.
That's true.
In that sense.
That's true. And again, very profound, the great insight, such strength, Georgia, again, like when you feel like you need to draw strength, when you feel like you have a challenge, and when you are faced with adversity, where do you draw the strength from?
He's going to absolutely hate me saying this. My family are, I am very, very lucky. My family have always been incredibly supportive and incredible with supporting me through my journey and all the highs and lows. But the one person that will always ground me, no matter what it is my brother. He's younger than me, and he basically, I always said he should be in my shoes. He's a very, very good rugby player. He was incredible. He got into Cardiff Blues, got injured, then he got injured again, contracts came around, got injured, and he was just plagued with injury. And when I made it, I was like, I'm almost doing this for him, because I know that it was his dream. And all my, they won't say out loud, but like my family will say, like, he should have made it because he was gifted one. So I always, it's him. He always grounds me. He brings me back down to earth when I'm getting a bit too heated. But he always just lets me vent, and then kind of reminds me, like, bigger picture, what's next? And he's always the one that I go to if I need to just kind of probably have a rant to, and then settle myself, because he's very next job focused. So he's like, what can you do that's going to change anything? Okay, nothing. Right, what's next? He's an amazing, like I say, role, like he is my role model to me, because he's the person that I turn to when I need that kind of help and like emotional support kind of thing. He's going to hate me as well.
Well, I'm glad that he's in that position for you. I'm sure there's millions of Welsh people around the world also glad. But I think, you know, you've alluded on something there as well, that people can reflect in their own lives and try and get that level of support, whether it's a family member, somebody in your sport, somebody in your business, whatever it is you're attacking or going after. You know, it doesn't have to be sport. We have people listening to us from all manner of industries, whatever it is. You know, who is that person who grounds you, who you can go to? And they just know by the way you walk in the room, she needs to vent, or she needs to be told, or she needs me to shut up. Like, that is such an important relationship to have for anybody who's striving to be a high performer, no?
Oh, 100%. And we do, like, he's kind of my person. What I like to have is, he's my person outside of rugby, because he's not in the environment. So when you're in camp, I find you can get very tunnel vision. So I have my roomies who I absolutely adore and trust, and I'll go back and we'll just sit and rant all day about something that's happened in training. You can get really heated and you can just go in circles, right? And like, that's really helpful at that time. But sometimes, probably longer term, it's not very helpful for like what kind of moving on from it, if that makes sense. Like digesting it, it's literally just you two girls having a bitch and a moan about whatever's happened that day. And we have Sports Sykes, who he's absolutely brilliant, and he works with us and he's great at what he does, and I work with him quite a lot. But again, it's quite tough when you're in that environment, because it's all you're all in that environment. You don't have kind of that reprieve from outside, so it's quite nice to have my brother, who is literally external from rugby, from women's rugby. He doesn't have a clue what's going on. He doesn't care. He's like, you need to focus on yourself. What's next? Blah, 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 blah. Whereas when you're in camp, it's very like you're in a bubble, and it can get very intense. So it's good to have people in the bubble, because they understand and know what you're going through. But it's also, I think, very beneficial to have them one or two people to kind of go to for the other things.
Outside the bubble as well. Again, fantastic insight. That is something that every high performer, or an aspiring high performer, even coaches, I think, as well. Now, we don't talk enough about perhaps how coaches might need that level of support. We talk a lot about players, but, you know, elite coaches at the highest level, under a lot of pressure, they may also look at their own, you know, reflect and look at their own lives and think, well, do I have that level of support as well? Fantastic insight. I know we got you for a little bit longer, Georgia. I'm not going to hide my excitement to have you on. I would probably try and keep you here forever if I could, but I know you have many, many other media commitments with far bigger podcasts than ours and far
Oh, no.
more important things to do as well.
This
But
is my favorite one. It's fine.
That's frog. I'm going to keep that. I'm going to take that. Don't worry. Georgia Evans quote. There we go. I'm going to come back to you in a minute. I'll give you a couple of seconds to think about maybe some of the best advice you've ever been given, or certainly advice you would pass on to the young women aspiring sport all around the world who will listen to this, right? But you did, while I give you some time to think on that, I didn't think I would share this today, but you mentioned before about it's not about wearing the bow to your local rugby club, and you're right, it's a lot more than that. But I'm going to take you back to the early 2000s, well, actually 1997, I won't forget this. David Beckham got married to Victoria Beckham, probably before your time, but it was a big deal at the time. He was sporting a sarong at the time in all the national newspapers. And I did wear a blue and white sarong down the local working man's club on a Saturday night in Abertillery. And I've never been allowed to forget it by all the rugby boys who still tell me to this day what an idiot I was. I wasn't doing it for anywhere near the level of real reasons that you are. So I'm going to share that with everybody just to say we don't always get everything right. You have a much bigger message and a much bigger reason for the things you're doing. But as we said, what, you know, when you're there on the pitch, and I've been fortunate to be there a little bit in soccer when you're away at a major tournament, and you know, you're looking back on the TV and you see the pictures of everybody in the bars, and when you're there on the pitch playing and you think back to Honestable Rugby Club, the young people holding their pints of squash and looking up at the screen at the really important moments. What advice would Georgia Evans give to them? You know, what would you say to those people listening to us today that want to walk in your path, follow in your footsteps, or succeed in any industry that they're trying to go into? What advice would you give to them?
I think the biggest one that stays with me is the one when my brother said to me, never leave the what ifs. Like never live with them, because they'll always haunt you. Because it's, what if I got up a bit earlier and trained, or what if I did one more extra rep, or what if? And I live by that. But I think it's more basic for me personally. I think you have to do what you love. You have to do what makes you happy. If it no longer brings you joy, it saps a lot of energy from you. So for me personally, I think I've always played my best rugby when I've always been happy, when I'm fulfilled with my team around me, with people that are challenging me. I try and surround myself with as many different people as I can to learn from them, to work with them. And I think that's the biggest thing, is if you want to strive to be better or the best at anything you do in life, you have to make sure you're learning from all those around you and constantly challenge yourself. There's no point being a big fish in a small pond. Step outside your comfort zone and go and challenge yourself with the best of the best. And like I said, just make sure you're happy doing so. I don't think anything in this world is worth it if you're not happy and you're not doing it with a smile on your face. And I think that's the biggest thing for me, is that if you're happy and you're enjoying it, you'll push yourself further and you'll find out things about yourself that you never thought you could or would do. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of basic and it's kind of long, but you get my gist.
It's fantastic insight. Again, you're absolutely right. You're touching on, I think, I'm not a very academic man, George, you could probably tell, right? But I've done my best to read and study and stick with this kind of stuff over the years, right? What you're describing here, I think, is probably one of the biggest phenomenons in youth development, in youth sport, in aspiring players who are trying to reach their potential. They hit a point where what they've been doing is now getting challenged because they've got to step up and do something new. And they all want to hold on to that moment of, but when I was 13, I could run through the whole field. I could do it, right? And they get to this point where they, okay, now I have to open myself up to be vulnerable and learn to do something a new way, because that's going to take me to under 18 rugby or under 20 rugby, same in any sport, right? I think what you've done brilliantly there is touch on that moment. Would you agree that one of the cruxes to actually fulfilling your potential is being vulnerable to these moments and allowing yourself to step into that uncertain world? What would you say about that?
100%. I think that's the biggest thing. And I, don't get me wrong, I was victim of it as well. When I was in Istanbul, I started off there, and quickly realised that I could throw a ball around. I was quite good. And then I was like, right, I had an opportunity to move to Pontyclun, which was just one league up. So it was the Premiership of the Welsh side. And I was a bit like, oh, I don't know if I'm good enough there. So I dipped my toe in, and then I was like, well, I'm not the best, but I can settle there. I can see if I can learn. And like I said, the coach at the time, she was amazing, and she really brought me out of my comfort zone. And I have never felt more vulnerable than I did moving to Pontyclun. And it was only one league up, but it was because I was no longer the star of the show in Inisabal. I'd then gone from being the star of the show to then just being one of many stars. And it's one of them feelings of, am I good enough? Oh, she's better than me. But actually what I quickly learned in Pontyclun and then moving to Saracens, which again was a very daunting time, was that the more people I surrounded myself, I realised were all superstars, and that they all had their own strengths. And everybody has a weakness. There's not one person who's perfect in this world, but everybody has their own strengths. And I realised that if I could just learn one thing off one person and then one thing off another, it adds 1% to my game, because I wasn't the same as them. And I think that's the biggest thing for me. My biggest learning was making sure that I was using those people, which sounds terrible, but you use your people around you to better yourself and to challenge yourself. And you maybe will never be as good as they are at tackling, but I could be better at carrying than them, and they could be trying to get to my level. And once you realize that it's not a competition, obviously everything is a competition, but it's not a direct comparison of individuals, because we all have our own super strengths and we all have stuff that we need to work on, but you can still use your teammates or even people that you're competing against to better yourself. I think that vulnerable place can only, if you use it to your strengths kind of thing, you find something in you that you realize that you probably never had before, if that makes sense.
It absolutely makes sense. And you're someone who's on the other side of it. You're a world international rugby player playing in World Cups. If you hadn't have embraced that vulnerability at kind of 18, 19, 20, accepted that you need to, you know, expand your comfort zone, because people live in their comfort zone, don't they? And they'd be very good. Like you said, you'd have probably been a very good player for, you know, Inisabal or even Saracens. You might never step to the international stage. But you faced that moment of vulnerability, allowed that to come in and worked with it. And now you sit here, you know, the Georgia Evans that we know and everyone in the world knows, right? But you didn't have to do that. Many people don't do that, do they? Why did you
do that? It's scary.
Yeah.
It's because it's really scary, and it's scary, again, it goes back to, I think, the what if, because it's, well, what if I fail? But then I never was an international athlete before I started rugby. Well, I started rugby because I loved the game, and I would have played whether I made it to Wales or not. So my what if is, well, what if I fail? But I can't miss something that I never had, if that makes sense. So I would never have known what it would be like to be in international rugby. And I can sit here and dream, and I can only dream of this life that I now live. But it wouldn't have taken anything away from me. But I would have been more upset if I hadn't tried, because it's then I don't know what my potential is, and I don't know what my ceiling is. I don't know whether it's Welsh. I don't know whether it's a Lion. I don't know whether I could have made a World Cup. All these things I'd have more questions about. Whereas what if I fail is a really scary question to have internally. But my mindset, which is very different to other people, so it could, you know, there's no right or wrong way to look at it. But what if I fail to me is a silly what if to have, because I never had it in the first place, if that makes sense.
Oh, it absolutely does. And it's going to give... What you're going to do is provide a framework for every aspiring coach, every young player, male, female, whatever, everybody who's aspiring to do anything in their life. You're going to give them a space to think about the what ifs in the way you just have, and not live with the regret of not trying, not live with the regret of not actually giving it your best and being vulnerable. Because if you fail, you fail. You know, in my career, I've failed. In my life, I've failed. Like, that's the way it is, right? And but you didn't, I love how you said it, you didn't have it before. So you're going to throw everything at it to get it. And if it works, you're there, and you're there now. And I think that's what this project was all about, Georgia, was just to give people that kind of strength and support, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
Wow.
Oh.
I people who know me will know I'm very rarely speechless. And after doing 50, nearly 60 episodes of this, I don't think I've ever found myself in a position where I'm just in awe of someone
Oh.
so much. Not just the playing for Wales, not just all that, which is just in and of itself is a dream. But Georgia, you represent everything that's right about, people who make it, people who succeed. These are the people we want to see succeed. These are the people with messages that are going to leave it better for others. I know people can get to the top thinking about themselves and just doing their own thing, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's them. But you are one of the ones who are taking people with you, and this episode is going to do that for millions of people you're not even going to meet in the next decade. And I just cannot thank you enough for being you.
Oh no, I thank you. And honestly, like I've said it from when this all kicked off, it's always a pinch me, and it's always like I can't quite believe that this is my life and this is what I'm doing, because I absolutely love everything that I do, and every interaction that I've had over the last couple of weeks has been incredible, insane, and amazing. Just because I've seen the amazing people from all over the world, from Florida, from everywhere, come out and just support, but also not just support myself, but support the bigger message. And it's not, like I said, it's always bigger than the bow, but it's also bigger than myself. And I just, if anything comes out of this, that's all I want to do, is like I want to leave my shirt. We always talk about leaving my shirt in a better place. That's obviously what I want to do in a rugby sense, but I also just want to leave behind, if I get one person, one girl, one boy through the door feeling comfortable, confident, and happy that they have a place and they're happy with what they do, that's more than enough for me. So I actually thank you, and I thank everyone else, because honestly, without you guys, obviously I wouldn't have a platform, and I'd just be some random Welsh girl just speaking rubbish down
You're
the
still some random Welsh girl. You are. You're still some random Welsh girl.
road.
You'll always be the random Welsh girl, but you're our random Welsh girl, and we are extremely proud of you. And certainly everybody here at the Pro Player will be supporting you well beyond your playing career. Whatever you choose to do with your life, you are one of the good ones making a difference. So thank you so much, Georgia. I've got to take a little liberty. I've got to
Come
ask you to
on.
say a shout out to the Llangennydd Sirens, which is the rugby club I'm from. The girls they're playing there. I've got to ask you to do a little shout out for them. I have to. I just have to. So if you don't mind,
Absolutely.
thank
I
you.
am. I've actually played against Llangennydd a couple of
Oh, you have.
times.
You
Yeah, when
have.
I used to play for the Bull, I used to go. We went down to Llangennydd a couple of times, so I do remember
Oh,
that,
wow.
which is amazing. But yeah, they're incredible girls. And I don't know if many of them will still be there since I left, but yeah, they were always incredible to go and play against. Always lovely, always loved a pint afterwards, so that was always enjoyable. But no, they're incredible. And I've seen all the bows as well, and honestly, some of the people wearing these bows, they look way better than I could ever do, so I'm impressed. I'm so happy.
Well, I tell you what, I thank you for that. I really appreciate that. I know that's going to help a lot of people and provide a lot of inspiration. These rugby clubs are the lifeblood of the community. They are, and you said it at the start, right? They play such an important role, not just in providing a sport on the grass on a Saturday, you know this, but they provide this. They are the centre of many communities, and I think they should be celebrated and highlighted and supported in every way, shape, or form. So thank you for that. I am certainly going to take my chance. Next time I'm down at, say, Daytona Beach or Miami, I'm going to take a bow and I'm going to take a photo on the beach there and send it to you, because it is about more than the bow, but it is also about the bow. So
Is. We love the
it's great that everybody's on board. I thank you so much for your time, but I'm going to let you go. We're going to be following everything you do. You've certainly, I hope that people in North America will latch on to this and start to think about rugby. As you said, the Men's Rugby World Cup is coming to the States in a couple of
Yeah.
years. That's going to play its part in developing the game here. But as I say, we got big listeners all the way around Europe, Australia, New Zealand, all the way around America. Ladies and gentlemen, Georgia Evans, thank you so much.
Thank you.